Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. And welcome to episode 177 of the English with Kirsty podcast. And today I'd like to talk about apps for language learning. So whether you're learning English or perhaps you'd like to learn another language, this is going to be a review of an app that I'm using. It's not a promoted post or a paid collaboration or anything. It's just something that I happen to be using for my own language learning. But also to have a wider discussion about the kind of problems you can have with apps for language learning and what they're good for. Because obviously there are differences between the individual apps, but there are also some common themes about what you can accomplish with an app and what you really need something else for, like speaking with other people. Like, you can't really replace that with an app or learning in that way. So I'm going to talk a bit about my experiences and what I found to be good and what was not so good. I'd also be interested in your experiences too. So if you want to carry on the conversation or give me a comment about this, you can contact me using my podcast email address, which is podcast@englishwithkirsty.com. Kirsty, K-I-R-S-T-Y, so podcast@englishwithkirsty.com. Let me know if you're using this app or if you found other ones that are good, why you like them, and maybe what you found that isn't so good and how you've got around those problems. Because if you identify a problem, it's always good to find a solution as well. So I'm talking about Duolingo. It's quite a popular app. It offers quite a range of languages. English is one of them. I've got about 10 language pairs on mine at the moment because I'm learning, I started off using it to improve my Turkish because that's the language that I'm focusing on at the moment. I use German all the time, and then my next language is Turkish. I've also in the past learned some French at school and some Hindi in my spare time, so I kind of added those as well. And then I also added a couple of other languages that I haven't officially learned anywhere. So Dutch, because I know some words. When I've been in the Netherlands, I've been able to understand some things because of the similarities with other languages that I speak. What else did I add? I added Spanish and Swedish as well, just because I thought it would be interesting. So I've got quite a mixture of languages on my list. I do find it easier to learn with the ones that I've already had some training in, like specifically Turkish. I had some really good foundations in Turkish. I abandoned my language learning for a while and didn't do anything with it for 5 years, but I did have some really good foundations at the beginning because I went to Turkish classes. So my knowledge of grammar is quite good, but I forgot a lot of the vocabulary. So in that respect, learning on Duolingo was good for me because it helped me to remember some of the words I knew, but a lot of the words are things that I've forgotten. So it's really good for that. So I decided to look at Duolingo as an example of a language learning app. It's broken down into lots of different sections, so you can work on different sections, different topics. Some things you can't do until you've done the things that come before them, but you can have a choice, so you don't have to do something like the weather until you finished it. You can do one day something about the weather, one day something about grammar, so you can mix it up a bit. And then there are different types in every lesson. There are different types of activities that you have to do. So some of them are typing what you hear or selecting the words that you hear. Some are translating into the new language. So you have, it's always done with a language pair. So you have the language that you speak, and then you have to translate something into the other language, either by tapping on the words or typing them yourself, or translate from language. So what does this mean in the language that you already speak? Or sometimes you have to speak a sentence as well. So the good things, it's good for learning vocabulary because of the way that you repeat the words It is good for learning new words, practicing what you already know, and making sure that you repeat that, either listening to it or writing it. And there's also a new feature they have, whereby if you get something wrong, you are tested on that before you can move up to the next level. So it's a way of personalizing it a bit to you. If you keep getting certain words wrong, you're likely to be tested on those again before you're able to move up into the next level. And it strengthens the links between the languages. And that helps, because I think that's good for your brain anyway. It's, you know, these links between a language that you know and one that you're learning. I don't subscribe to this idea that learning it in another language has to be entirely in that language. I think it's good to use what we already have, what we know. You do need to know that some things can't be said in exactly the same way and you can't translate sentences word for word, but I don't agree that we should completely forget everything we know in another language when we're learning a new one. So for me, this strengthening the links between the two languages is a really good thing. It gets people into the habit of doing some language training every day, because if you stop doing that, or if you think the only time you can do some language practice is when you go for a lesson or when you sit down to watch something in English for an hour or half an hour, it can be hard to find those available time slots in your day. But if you know that you've got 5 or 10 minutes, you can do a Duolingo lesson, you can do something. I think there are only, like, I don't know exactly, but 11 to 15 questions in each one, so you can do one fairly quickly and it doesn't take that long, so it's easy to fit those time blocks into your day and to do at least a couple every day, and you are rewarded for doing something every day. I think I've got something like a 210 day streak or something, which means I've been consistently doing something every day for that many days. And there is, if you are motivated by gamification, it's organized into different leagues, and you can see where you are in a group of 50 people. So if you don't want to be at the bottom, because that means you fall back down into the league below, or you might find you're having a bit of a race with someone, or you may decide you want to be in the top 20 or something like that. You know, you can see where other people are, you can see how many points you've got that day and previous days. So if you want to make it a bit of a challenge with yourself, you can do it that way too. From the perspective of somebody with a visual impairment, it is pretty much accessible. There are a couple of things that could be better, but on the whole, I find it an accessible experience to use it with VoiceOver, which is the screen reader that's available on iPhones or iDevices. I don't know about other screen readers because I don't use them, but for my purposes, it's fine. The repetition is good for memorizing. It's a really good way, because I know that as a learner, if I have a list of words, for example, before I went into a test, then I could memorize them. I've got really good short-term memory, but it doesn't always go into my long-term memory. So I can pass a test, but if you ask me the same questions, vocabulary questions, the next week, I'd probably fail because I didn't know that I was supposed to be remembering them. So this idea with using repetition is good because it gets you into the habit of repeating the new vocabulary. And finally, it has an owl. So yeah, that has to be a good thing, because anyone that knows me knows that I love owls. So yeah, Duo is an owl, and he's kind of, you can see him, you can buy outfits for him. I haven't done that, but yeah, I just think it's cool that they are using an owl as their kind of mascot, as their the Duolingo Duos, because that's his name. So that's cool. Right, not so good things. One problem, I don't know how you would do this on an app like this, but it doesn't strengthen the skill of making your own sentences. So when you have to speak or write, you're told what to write, whether that's because you can see it on the screen or because you're translating something, but it doesn't encourage you to build your own sentences with the words that you've learned. And that would be really difficult to do in an app like this, because there needs to be some way of checking what you've done and assessing whether that matches the answer, because that's how this kind of thing works. So I don't think this is a fault with the app, but if you want to improve your language skills, you need to be doing something else that will give you the opportunity to do that. Otherwise, it doesn't really give you enough experience at generating your own language. And that's really important if you want to improve your language skills. And also, it doesn't encourage you to react spontaneously. So like if somebody asks you a question, unless you've learnt the answer to that question, it doesn't really help you with that. And again, I don't think this is the fault of the app, but if you want to learn to react spontaneously, like if you're speaking to somebody, you need to be able to do that without having a sentence in front of you. You need to just be able to respond. And that's why things like, well, going to classes or having language exchanges or doing something where there is human interaction at the same time, that is also a good skill to have. And that's not really a skill that is worked on in this app. Occasionally, there are problems with accepting the correct pronunciation. That tends to be if my phone is running out of power or if I don't have such a good internet connection. I don't think it's entirely to do with the app, but I'm doing some courses where I'm doing something like English for Turkish speakers or English for German speakers. So I know my English pronunciation is right and it still comes up as incorrect. So that can be quite frustrating. You can lose points that way, which is also frustrating. But yeah, it's I don't know whether it's to do with the voice recognition or whether it's to do with the transmitting that information if the connection isn't so good. I don't know, but occasionally that is a problem. Sometimes there are tips for the languages. I don't use them for the languages that I know well or have learned, but for the new languages it would be quite handy, and sometimes there aren't any. So that would be nice to have, especially at the beginning. For the new languages, it would be nice if there were tips, because otherwise I just end up googling them, which is fine, but it would be nice if all the languages were consistent in that way and that there were tips for all of them. You can't just focus on one skill, which is maybe good, because we all focus on the skills that we're good at because it makes us feel good, and then we ignore the ones that we're not good at and they get worse and worse. So I understand that. But if you specifically want to focus on one type of skill, you can't really do that in this app. It's good that you can turn off certain types of exercises. So I sometimes turn off the speaking exercises if I'm somewhere where I can't just randomly announce things like the dog is reading the newspaper in another language. You know, it's good that you can't always speak, so it's good that you can turn that off. You can also turn off the listening exercises if you are unable to play something loudly, or for people who are unable to hear, then it's good, it's accessible, because you can turn off those exercises so that you aren't tested on them. But you can't turn off writing, and I find that a little bit annoying, because some of the languages, particularly where they use a completely different script, I don't necessarily want to be able to type or write in those languages. I don't want to learn the alphabets, but I do want to be able to speak and listen and understand the words that way. So for anyone who wants to do that, you can't do that. And I've actually deleted a course now because I didn't want to learn to write it, but I couldn't get any further because of the writing tasks. So if you don't want to speak or listen, that's fine. If you don't want to write, that's not fine. And I've heard somebody, I think she wanted her child to learn Chinese, and she found it a bit frustrating because there was a lot of focus on the characters and how to write the characters rather than to speak and understand the words. So it's not quite so good for that. So in conclusion, I would say that it's something that I enjoy using. And I am doing various courses on there. I find it particularly helpful for the ones where I've already got some knowledge. So my Turkish, my French that I learned at school, my Hindi to some degree, because I did have lessons in Hindi as well, but that was quite a long time ago, so I have forgotten some of that. But for the new languages, it is more difficult. And I do end up Googling things and finding out, which is fine. We've got the internet. That's what Google is for. But it would be good if there were some more tips in those languages. And also, I think that I know the type of learner that I am, so I need to understand how things work. I like understanding the rules, and I need that because then it gives me confidence for making my own sentences. If you're more of somebody who enjoys learning by doing, you want the practical elements, you don't want the theory as much, then maybe this wouldn't bother you as much as it bothers someone like me. So it might be more the kind of thing that you want to do, you know, keep practicing sentences and then learn some more. That's fine. But for me, I like to understand the mechanics of the language, what the grammar rules are, how the sentences should be put together. So I do find that a little bit frustrating when I don't understand, okay, last time the answer was this and now it's this, what's the difference? And I will have to go and Google that because it will bother me until I understand it. There are tips from the community. I don't tend to use them that much, but if you want to discuss an answer to a question that you don't understand, you can ask in the community. And there are some people who give some really good answers there, but it's, yeah, they're not all teachers. So some of the answers are a bit more confusing than the original question. So I'm sure they try to monitor the boards, but, you know, it's just like community sorting an answer. So it's not the same as going to a website dedicated to teaching that language and getting the answer from there, which I generally find to be the more efficient way to get the answers. But the community is there if you want to ask. So yeah, I would be interested to know whether you use Duolingo or whether you use any other language apps. Let me know. As I said, you can write to podcast@englishwithkirsty.com. if you want to say anything about that or any other apps that you've tried. The show notes page for this episode is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode177. And whether or not you use apps, I hope you have a good week and have fun learning English. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.